Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate today on the account of the Transfiguration from Mark chapter 9. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray your blessing over us this day as we meditate on your word. Send us your Holy Spirit to speak that word into our hearts and minds and lives in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Peter's words to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. As I've given some thought this week to where the themes of Thanksgiving and Transfiguration meet, and to be honest, that took a bit of thinking, but as I've given that some thought this week, the point I came to was this. It is good for us to be here. It is good for us to be here. Here on earth, here alive, here in Australia, this country, here in Mount Barker, this area, here in this church, here in worship, here with one another, here in the presence of God. Friends, it is good for us to be here. Before we give thanks for things like this, the beautiful produce you see before you, before we give thanks for our families, our work, our hobbies, the different things that interest us in this life, before we give thanks for our eating and our drinking and our producing, it is good for us to give thanks for simply our being, for existing. It is good for us to be here. God did not create human doings, a friend of mine used to say, but human beings. God has given us life. God has created us to be, to exist, to live. We may not always think about life or feel about life as though it is an inherently good thing, but if we read Scripture, we hear time and time again that we are blessed just to be, to live, to be alive. Friends, it is good for us to be here. You, yourself, your life, these are wonderful gifts from God. Beautiful things. A beautiful thing that you are given, as well as these beautiful things that you have been given to enrich that life. Friends, it is good for us to be here. Now, what's good about it? What's good about it? Well, what's good about Peter and James and John and their presence at the Transfiguration? What was good about that event? What was important about it? What can we learn from it? That's what I want us to focus on today. And the three things I want to draw out of this account is a good group, a good and not so good response, and a good ending. A good group, a good and not so good response, and a good ending. Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him, and he led them up a high mountain where they were all alone, and there he was transfigured before them. It's interesting that this unusual event, this miraculous event, this incredible event in Scripture is stated so simply. There he was transfigured before them, as if to say, this is what happened. We don't know how it happened, we just know that it. That's how Mark presents it. And there was a good group, Peter, James, and John, there to witness it. Now, we start to become accustomed with this practice of Jesus, taking aside a few from his number for a special purpose. Peter, James, and John, the same three who are later invited with him to Gethsemane to pray, are interestingly there also on the Mount of Transfiguration. They are a good group. A good group, and they're a good group not because of the caliber of the individuals who are in that group, but because they are handpicked by their Lord for a special purpose. And that's what makes this a good little group. Their presence as part of that group didn't only serve their own good, but the good of many others outside that group as well. And I think that's what makes something a good group. It's like in a congregation. If you have a good council or a good group of elders or a good little study group or a good prayer group or a good committee of any kind, that good little group doesn't exist just for its own good, but for the good of the wider group. That's one of the key markers, I think, of a good little group. So what is this good group here for? What are they here to do? What are they here to witness? What they see is Jesus radiant, Jesus shining, Jesus in his glory. They see the curtain of heaven pulled back for a moment and they see Jesus as he really is. Brilliant, beautiful, dazzling is the image they see. And they see there with him another good group. Did you notice? Another good group. There appeared with him Elijah and Moses who were talking with Jesus. Wouldn't you have loved to hear that conversation? Moses and Elijah there talking with Jesus. I wonder what they were saying. These two, Moses and Elijah, represent the Old Testament. They represent the law and the prophets. They represent, therefore, the build-up and the background to the coming of Jesus, the progression that took place leading up to him. What is their role, writes St. Augustine? What is their role if it is not to converse with Christ? What is the point of these guys, their mission? The whole Old Testament, what is the point of it if not to converse with Christ, to lay the groundwork, to lay the foundation, to lead us to the conversation of Jesus Christ, to prepare people's hearts and minds for that? So what we get set up here in Mark 9 is this kind of friendship and this continuity between the old and the new, between the Old Testament and the new, the Old Covenant and the new, the old people and the new, between Moses and Elijah and Jesus, what we sometimes call the law and the gospel. We get this friendship, this continuity, this progression. It's a good group, don't you think? Moses, Elijah, Jesus is a good group. And it's a good group because it exists not for the sake of itself, but for the sake of those outside the group. Today we have the honour at our second service of welcoming some new members into our congregation. And quite a few of these people you would have known, you would have met, because they've been around the place for a little while. I've only really gotten to know them in the last month or two. And I can honestly say to you, they're a good group. They're a good group. They're a diverse group. They're a faithful group. They're a group whose different paths have been very different in leading them to where they are now, to being with us here at St. Mark's. So today, we take the opportunity to formally welcome them as part of our congregation and to say to them, it is good that you are here. It is good that you are here. So it's a good group, just like the good group in our text and the good group who witnesses that incredible vision. Secondly, the good and not so good response to the transfiguration, to the glory of God revealed in the person of Jesus. The good and the not so good response. So Peter says to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And then you get the author's note after that. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. They did not know what to say, for they were so frightened. Although we're not told directly in the text, it seems as though Peter has got it half right and half wrong. That Peter, as he often is half on the money and half off the money. All right. His first comment, Lord, it is good that we are here, is true. It's also pretty safe. All right. Jesus has invited them to be here. Lord, it's good that we are here. But his second comment is a bit like saying, let's stay here. Let's stay here. Let's put up shelters. Let's set up camp here on the mountain. This is a good place to be. Why don't we just stay here for a while, Jesus, with Moses and Elijah as well. He's a bit like a kid on holidays. Maybe any of us on holidays. Why do we have to go back? Why can't we just live like this? Why can't we just stay here on the mountain? This is wonderful. Why can't we just stay? I remember as a kid going on family holidays and we often went down to Goolwa Beach. And I remember Mum and Dad driving around and I'd be in the back seat listening to the conversation and they'd be checking out the different places for sale and saying, wouldn't it be lovely to own a place down here, to move down here one day. And I'd think, even as a kid, I'd think, come on, guys, just enjoy the holiday. All right? We're here for a time. We don't have to move down here every year, all right, which is what they talk about each year. Now, these days, I go to Goulburn Beach for a holiday, and guess what I do? Drive around and think, place for sale. Be nice to move down here. Come on, Pastor Ben. Come on, St. Peter. Right? This is a moment. It's a temporary glimpse. It's not for all time. It's not supposed to be for all time. This is just a moment for you to enjoy, Peter. So enjoy it. And don't try to make it last, because that's not its purpose at this time. The transfiguration was a once-off. It was a temporary, a wonderful temporary, but a temporary gift to these disciples. A foretaste, to be sure, of something better and something eternal, but just a foretaste at this time. It wasn't until the disciples were back down the mountain, right, back onto the plains, back into their real life, right, back heading to Jerusalem, back with Jesus, back towards the cross, towards suffering and death. It wasn't until then that the fruit of the transfiguration would really start to ripen and come to its full flavor, and you would start to see its real purpose, okay, to encourage them on that path. So it wasn't for just the mountain, it was for the plains as well. It was for the flat and dusty roads, the valleys as well, at which they would be called to walk in the near future. Human beings, we tend to experience something good and we want to cling on to it. We want to hold on to that moment rather than hold on to the one from whom it came, the one who has given us the moment and every moment. We like the glory. We forget the glorious one behind that glory, who tells us his power is made perfect in weakness, in struggle, in suffering, and in death. We're not that different to Peter, are we? Wanting to cling on, hold on to the glorious moment. We talk about the good old days, right? We hold on to an idea of the past and what that was like, or a golden era from our lives that we really enjoyed, that was really wonderful, and we hold on to it. We think if only it could continue like that forever. But no, that was a time. Or we hold on to the present, or we hold on to the future. And we think of, you know, modern medicine and modern technology, and that's it, that's the answer. Progress. We cling on to something that we think is glorious, we think will answer all our problems, and we forget that all these things are passing away. They're fading away. And yet there is one who's not passing away and not fading away, and he is the one to whom we can and should be clinging. For Peter, James, and John, he was right there in front of them. And he's the point, Peter. You missed the point earlier, but he's the point, the one right there in front of you. So no, you can't build a shelter up here on the mountain. No, you can't stay up here, Peter. You've got to go back down. You're here to listen and to see and to taste and then to return. Back to the real world, back to your real life, back to the plains. And to be encouraged for your trip down there, where it's not all glory, and it's not all success, and it's not all excitement, and it doesn't always feel good, and it doesn't always look good, and it's not always polished, and it's not always pristine, because it's real. It's the real world. So get back down there, Peter, and get on with it, is sort of the message we get in the Transfiguration. Back to the valleys, back to the plains, back to the cross, back with Christ. Following Christ is about following him everywhere he goes. Everywhere he goes. Thankfully for Peter, this account doesn't end with his response. It does have a good ending, this account, a good ending. Firstly, because Peter's voice is interrupted by God's, as if to say, enough now, Peter. You've had your say. Hey, it's my turn to talk, Peter. What God has to say is interestingly the same thing we heard him say a few weeks ago at the baptism of Jesus. There's only two points, I think, in the New Testament where we get this voice of God kind of booming, and the same time, and both times, it says the same thing. It says, "This is my son, and I love him. Listen to him." This is my son, and I love him. Listen to him. Listen to him. Right? You can hear in it the response to Peter with his grand plans and his great ideas. No, Peter, listen to him. Right? Redirect your thinking. Don't listen to the million other voices you might have around you in your life that kind of crowd your mind and cloud your thinking. Listen to him. Why? He is God's son and God loves him. So listen to him. Jesus out Moses's Moses, one of my old lecturers used to say. He out Elijah's Elijah. He is God's great last personal means of communication into our world and into our lives. God's own definition, his autobiography. Everything God has to say, he says, I'm saying through this guy. He is God's last man standing. God's great self-giving to us. He says, this is my son and I love him. Listen to him. He will correct your wayward thinking. He will forgive your wayward being. He will change your wayward doing. And he will give you in time a heart that is increasingly like his own. So listen to him. When he tells you you are forgiven, listen to him. When he tells you you are loved by God, listen to him. When he tells you that your life means more to God than it could ever mean to you, listen to him. When he tells you your life has a purpose and a plan, listen to him. He has so much to tell you, so much to show you. When he tells you you have far more to be thankful for in your life than you could even dream possible, far more than you can put on a table like this. So much to be grateful for, so much to thank God for. When he tells you that, listen to him. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. Except Jesus. The good ending to this event is the good man who is left standing there at the end, standing there before them, God's last man standing, Jesus Christ. Christ alone, we say, our hope, our trust, our salvation, and our glory, our deepest source and reason for thanksgiving in this life. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, it is good that we are here. It's good that we're here alive. It's good that we're here worshiping you. It's good that we're here with you and with one another. Lord, remind us that this is a good thing. We have a lot to be thankful for in this life. Make us above all things thankful for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.